It says, this all proves we should have listened to the National Front at the time and we would not be in this mess. I don't know where in the country you are, Jed, but I suspect your life is better than it was in 1970. Lots of you very disappointed with me for repeating the associations between Jeremy Corbyn and the IRA. That's the price of free speech, I'm afraid, and a free press. And this, good show as always, James. But if things weren't so crazy, asks Gaz, what would you talk about every day? Mate, I'd bring back the quiz of the week. We could play Beat the Sweet. I'd maybe even play some records. It'd be great if politics was so boring that management decided we had to start talking about other stuff again. Theo Usherwood is here. What have we got?
Let's start with Theresa May and this brief roundup of the campaign. It was all going so well for the Conservatives until 4 weeks ago when they launched their manifesto and plans for the so-called dementia tax came out. It was a big announcement about how Theresa May was going to reform a system, and then the Tories didn't like it. Mainstream organisations, the press, got into it and they didn't like it either, and the disparity in what people were going to have to pay, or the wealth and then how much they were going to pay. And then it started to go, the narrative started to change and it started to go badly for Theresa May. We then had two terrorist attacks which have undoubtedly impacted upon the Conservative campaign, and this collision between Conservative austerity and security, supposed to be strong on security, but then the impact that cuts to police numbers have had on that. I've tried to this morning pick up a picture of exactly where the Conservative campaign is, and if you look at the seats that Theresa May has visited recently, and specifically the majorities in those seats, it gives an indication that actually they think they can do much better and they can still win a majority north of 80. And it's the majorities that are crucial here, because if you look at the seats thereafter, Hemsworth, which is in West Yorkshire, 12,000, Don Valley and Penistone and Stockbridge, 8,000 and 6,000 respectively, both in South Yorkshire, and then Bradford South, 6,500. This is not an itinerary for a leader fearing a defeat or hung parliament. And if, as I said, the Tories win those seats, then they'll pick up a majority well north of 80. This was, of course, supposed to be the Brexit election, and then there's been a divergence on to other topics. Theresa May has come under criticism for the way that she has performed, the way she's handled questions. But today she tried to bring it back on to the question of Brexit and the question of leadership.
Obviously, this campaign has been struck by those two terrible and horrific terrorist attacks that took place. But I think the questions at the end of the campaign are the same as at the beginning. It's about who people trust to have the strong and stable leadership to get the best deal for Britain in Europe, and who has the will and, crucially, the plan to deliver on Brexit.
So you're saying pretty much the same thing as when you started this campaign. Have people actually had any answers from you on Brexit in particular?
We have, as I say, the questions in this campaign are exactly the same.
But have you answered any of them?
Yes, I have.
Has she?
A rather testy response there.
I know this isn't your brief, but so no deal is better than a bad deal, but it's really important we've got the right people to do that deal.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that's where we are.
Okay.
Moving on to Labour, Jeremy Corbyn. He's had a much better campaign. I was speaking to one of his people earlier. Three things they highlighted to me. The first was when the Labour manifesto leaked. Clearly that was from Jeremy Corbyn's own team because they wanted to get out his plan. And a lot of those policies from Jeremy Corbyn's point of view went down very well. Renationalisation of the railways, the utilities companies, etc. And then they talk about the broadcast rules kicking in, which they felt gave them much greater coverage in the mainstream
so
media.
That we were hearing what Jeremy Corbyn
exactly.
said rather than hearing what Jeremy Corbyn thought as reported by newspapers that didn't like him.
Exactly.
Generally
so speaking. It was about, from their point of view, it was about the airwaves, getting on the airwaves.
Yeah, well, it's odd that, isn't it? Because, I mean, one does wonder why he didn't do even more, but they'll argue he's done plenty, I suppose.
Big question. He hasn't been on LBC.
Well, it's not that big a question. We're getting a bit above ourselves. I just think it's a bit of a misstep on his part, but there we go.
And then the dementia tax, which went well for, and they capitalised on that. He's talked today about the economy, living standards, education, and the NHS. But if you look again at the majorities, the constituencies he's visited in the last week, and then the majorities in those constituencies, you get a real feeling that they're playing on a much more defensive step. So you're looking at places like Weaver Vale, a majority, a conservative majority of 1,000. Harrow East, majority of just under 5,000. Telford, again, 1,000. They're trying to win seats with much smaller conservative majorities when they're going into marginal seats. And then he's also looked to defend Labour seats, Labour held seats, particularly in the North East, from the Conservatives. This is what Mr Corbyn's been saying in Runcorn this morning.
We want an economy that works for all. I don't want an economy where 6 million people are earning less than the living wage, where a million are on 0 hours contracts. I want instead a real living wage, £10 an hour by 2020. I want an end to the indignity of 0 hours contract, where in the stress you wake up every morning wondering if you've got work that day. That's not right. And so we'll be changing quite a lot on employment law.
It's been a bad campaign, I think, for Tim Farron and the Liberal Democrats. They found it very difficult. They put all of their narrative was based around remaining within the European Union. That's gone down well from what insiders are telling me in London. It's gone down badly in the South West, where they've always had quite a strong foothold. Although I am told, interestingly, they think that while, and this is from the Lib Dems, that while farmers haven't necessarily picked up on the implications of leaving the European Union for their industry, there is a hope that they can win in St Ives, which of course is a big fishing industry, about fishermen realising the impact of leaving the European Union.
Oh, shut up. Fishermen realising that it's bad.
Fishermen, but not farmers. Yeah. That's what I'm told.
But fishermen, that was supposed to be, that's the only thing left for leaving, isn't it? That we're going to get our fish back.
Well, the Lib Dems are saying that fishermen are realising the difficulties.
It couldn't have something to do with the fact that we only have 13% of EU waters, but 30% of the fishing quota, could it?
Probably, yeah. So anyway,
Treason. Treason is what it is. Treason.
Good news in St Ives, bad news in the rest of the South West. London, important, three important seats. Let's start with Richmond. Sarah Olney defending that from Zach Goldsmith, who, of course, this time is standing as a Conservative. Twickenham, Vince Cable. There's a big hope there for the Lib Dems that he can get back in. And then in Bermondsey, Simon Hughes. I'm told that one's very tight. They're also looking at Kate Hoey down in Vauxhall because, of course, they think they can get back that day. They can win that seat even because of the stance that Kate Hoey told them.
Don't I have to read out?
No, you don't. I've checked. I know.
Okay.
I've put in the relevant phone calls.
All right.
Don't doubt me, James.
I don't doubt you. I was just clarifying. I was actually asking you, because I could. If I doubted you, I'd do it anyway, wouldn't I?
Sorry.
It's been a long campaign, Theo Usherwood. It's a long lot. How many miles have you done? Have you got one of those little Fitbits?
No.
Because you hopped a lot of it, didn't you, after breaking your leg? Almost.
Now you're just taking the mickey.
I'm not at all.
Issues. Cannabis. What? Apparently cannabis has gone down very badly, Lib Dems are saying. Legalise, of course, Tim Farron said he wants to legalise cannabis. Lots of Lib Dem voters apparently don't like that.
Someone said to me the only politician who could get legalisation of cannabis through the Commons is Theresa May, oddly.
Why?
On the grounds that the conversation needs to be about the 21st century attitudes to the drug, the experiences in America or elsewhere in Europe, the medicinal applications, not the perception that it's just the same old hippies as before going, hey man, smoke weed, everything will be great.
Well, apparently Lib Dem voters aren't so keen on that message. The other issue, of course, is Tim Farron and his reluctance. He's only managed to say it once that he didn't think that homosexuality was a sin. That's gone down badly on the doorstep as well. Anyway, Mr. Farron's been talking this morning.
Tomorrow is a chance for people to say we're not going to give Theresa May a blank cheque to deliver all those cuts to all that we hold dear. And the Liberal Democrats, I think, the one opposition party that can hope to go forward in this election, the most powerful way in many parts of the country to deliver that message.
UKIP finally, in this very brief roundup, it's had a nightmare campaign. Although some might say, and this is the way it was sold to me a few moments ago, that from UKIP's point of view, their policies have been completely incorporated into the Conservative Party. So in the end, it's an outright win. This is Paul Nuttall's been in Great Yarmouth, where they have an outside shot of winning a seat.
The Conservative Party have promised in their manifesto not to withdraw from the European Court of Human Rights, and now they're talking about stripping back human rights legislation. I want to make it clear with UKIP. We would rip up the Human Rights Act, withdraw from the European Court of Human Rights, and ensure that there was a British Bill of Rights which ensured British people were put first.
Paul Nuttall there.
Have you enjoyed it?
Yes, I have. It's Well, I've enjoyed bits of it. I enjoyed the first half of it, I have to say. And I don't know, I get this experience from probably... from